There's one in every family, right?
Well, she's excellent. She's like my father.
And there's the fade. I love it. He executed the fade perfectly. It's Gloucester Cast 340. Thank you, Chris, for that. Thank you. Also, welcome to the Shitty Cast, affectionately known as the Shitty Cast after our mascot, Bo, pooped twice in the office this morning, once on the floor and once on Chris's shirt.
Like the record show, he didn't poop on my shirt. There was poop on his paw.
Oh, and then he so he's tracking poop all over the office.
Yeah,
that's what's happening right
now. Yeah, you better call the clean team.
Petri Dish Studios.
1-800 clean team. Mick LaFarge is gonna get up here and clean all the poop.
Stat.
We have a full house today. We got a lot to talk about. We're gonna go right around. Everybody's gonna say their name and say good morning.
Good morning, Chris McCarthy.
Good morning, Mike Coderre.
Good morning, Brandon Pratt.
Good morning, Mara McCarthy.
Susan Lipsick, good morning, Gloucester.
Good morning, Joe. Happy birthday, man. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
Good morning from Faye Passanese, Gloucester.
Good morning, Marianne Paquette. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
Jim Dalpiez, I'm back.
He's back.
Pat Dalpiez, good morning.
Good morning, Gloucester. Kim.
And it's Joey Shimataro. All right. As you can tell, that's a full. This is one of the more full casts that we've had in a while.
Yes, it is.
There's a lot happening. That's
why. Yeah, this. That time of year.
I have to give a huge shout out because our favorite guest today, and there's a particular reason why they're our favorite guests, is because they bring food. Anybody that brings food gets top billing on this podcast.
If you
came here for the podcast to promote a restaurant and you didn't bring food, you'd be dead to us afterwards.
Yeah.
We would act like we like you,
but
as soon as you left, we would never go to your restaurant again. And we would speak ill of you. Well, we would speak of you, but we'd only speak ill of you afterwards.
So
you did the right thing. No, but fantastic. Cookies and what was it, coffee bread?
Coffee cake?
All homemade.
Very good.
Sisters. Wow.
Is that a cream cheese coffee cake?
Sour cream.
So we were big fans of Two Sisters before you guys took it over, but you guys have continued and actually brought some new things to that place. I love the sign.
Yes.
I love the decor. And I love the menu.
Thank you.
You guys, like, it was great. It was already at a high level and you guys took it to the next level. Who's responsible for some of these yummy things like the stuffed French toast with the berries and the stuff?
That would be me.
That'll be Mara.
Yes, that would be me. The French toast. We try to keep. We have such a great. We're very fortunate to have everybody come back, and that's really. So the townspeople have been wonderful, very accepting of two new sisters into the building. So I wanted to add my own spin to it, but keep some of the same flavors that everybody loves. But the berry French toast, people love that.
Oh,
maple pecan French toast I brought to the menu. We've added some, I kicked up the hash a bit. I'm a hash girl, I'm Irish, so anybody worth their salt loves corned beef hash.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've done some special things with that, some seasonings and such. And,
who made the sign?
We had someone in Wakefield, because the storm in, what was it?
January,
or
that
no,
windstorm.
Yeah, blew it down.
I love it.
They did a nice job.
It's just clean and nice.
Our nephew up in California. We had the idea for Sailboat, but he's the one that sort of brought that whole logo together. That's our logo on our aprons and shirts, and so same thing on the sign up front.
Yeah. So it's always the rub, though. Like, you take over a restaurant, you keep the same name. Some people could probably get upset if some of their favorite menu items disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always a balancing act, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You definitely have to. I wanted to bring my own spin to it, too. And my sister, Chris, she's a really good baker, too. She takes the reins on that versus me. I'm more of a grill person and have some, between the two of us, some different creative ideas that we have. And,
What are some of the favorite dishes that people love? What are some of the favorites?
I would say the corned beef hash is really very big one. We also have the fish cakes.
Yeah.
Which is, there's kind of a neat story to that. There's a friend of ours, she's going to be 100.
100 this year.
100.
100, wow.
Just
and
before
wow.
we opened,
yeah.
2 weeks before, we were looking through recipes I had in a book and found this handwritten in an 8-year-old hand recipe for fish cakes. And I said, oh my gosh, I remember this. And she used to babysit my boys, who are now 27,
oh, wow.
26, and it's her great-grandmother's fish cake recipe.
Wow.
She's a little Italian grandma, and
wow.
they're, so we just kind of tweaked it a little bit and added some of the more updated spices
wonderful.
That people really
yeah.
have liked.
What kind of fish
wow.
do you put in fish cakes? I've never made them.
It's a haddock.
Haddock?
Yeah. We use North Coast is one of our providers that we use, and just really nice. Really
I can
nice.
Tell you. I'll tell you a story about North Coast Seafoods. Back, my cousin Frank and I used to handle a lot of fish out of here. It wasn't just a lobster dock; it was a fish company. And Jim and Norm Stavis.
Mm-hmm.
Norm Stavis has passed.
Yes.
But we did a tremendous amount of business with them. So dealing with fish in Boston, like you were going in there, and every day we would offload the boats early in the morning. By 4 o'clock in the morning, I'd be on the road in there with a big box truck full of fish. And sometimes I'd have to go in three times to get all the fish into town. But it was like going to war, because I would have to deal with these really horrible fish dealers in Boston that were trying to. They would really stick a knife in their mother's eye if they could get a nickel for that knife, for that eyeball. Most horrible people I ever had to deal with. In comes Norm and Jimmy Stavis from North Coast, and they said, we want to buy all your fish. It's like, we handle a lot of fish. Like, we're going to take care, if you take care of us, we'll take care of you. They were very demanding as far as quality goes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the fish was not up to snuff, I was going to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the fish is, you know, they would say, you know, bring it someplace else because that's not going to come in our doors. And we'd be totally fine with that. They were honest with us. They weren't trying to
mm-hmm.
screw it.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys were absolute brilliant
mm-hmm.
fish guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they were fair. They paid a fair price. And the fishermen benefited from our relationship with Jim and Norm Stavis,
mm-hmm.
Who own
yeah,
North
yeah.
Coast Seafood.
They're dear friends of ours.
Yeah, great people.
They are wonderful people.
Great people,
yeah. Norm is sadly very missed.
Yeah,
very yeah. yeah, great people.
So one of the ways in which I keep my beautiful figure is when I go to breakfast, I typically don't eat the bread. They tell them to hold bread. But when I visit two sisters, I get bread. I mean, all homemade, there's a wide variety
uh-huh.
of breads. Just speak quickly to
yeah.
you know the bread options.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. The woman that loves to make the bread stayed on with us. And
nice.
it's a whole huge event on Mondays and Tuesdays. And she rolls out the plain dough and then the sweet dough and makes 10 grain white wheat, patriot bread, which is cranberry, blueberry with a cinnamon swirl, raisin nut, cranberry almond.
Wow.
And we have said many times, can we cut down some of these? Because it's a process. You can imagine making it, advises, punching it down, do it. And they said, you can't because people come in and they want their favorites. And that's one thing we would say. The locals were we were so fortunate. Patty included us in the transition. But everyone was crystal clear what they would and would not tolerate. I.e., don't get rid of that bread.
Right.
If you change that coffee, I'll never come back.
Right.
And that omelet, keep it on. Okay. It was very clear. So we really.
Well, it's
a
testament because I see the same cast of characters in there that from before.
Yeah.
Cacfiello and
mm-hmm.
those guys. And
we're so grateful that everyone really has given us a shot and they keep coming back. So that's a big difference.
So
we've learned an awful lot.
The past
few months.
I've made a lot of new friends.
There you go. Well, thank you guys for coming in. Do you guys have a website?
We do.
You do. And what is it?
TwoSistersMA.com.
TwoSistersMA.com.
Yes.
I'm going to put that in the show notes.
Please do.
I know you guys, it's Sunday morning.
TWO. Yeah. And our nephew, too. He did a beautiful job. Put the menu on there, and there's great pictures. And he did a beautiful job from California and put that together for us.
There you go. Anything you guys want to add? I know you have to get back to the restaurant. It's Sunday morning. You guys are here. It's like bananas to get you guys.
I'm going
to
be slinging hands in about 5 minutes all over the place.
And no, the whole room is now leaning toward the door. We're all trying to get out the door to follow you guys.
I think we should continue this podcast at Two Sisters.
Yeah. Anytime. Thank you all.
Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you, thank
so
you
much.
For having
Appreciate
us.
You.
It's nice to meet everybody.
Come see us.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you so much. Take care.
I'm not on edge. He thinks I'm on edge.
You're fine, Jim.
That's enough.
Am I on edge?
Let's go.
Sure. It's the first nice day.
Do you want some? Do you want some White Claw grapefruit?
I think I've. What's that?
Do you want some White Claw?
White Claw.
White Claw
grapefruit.
What? Possibly the. So Mike, we went to the beach yesterday,
yeah.
On Chris's boat, and Chris's son was not happy with Mike's selection of. The girly
alcohol.
White Claw. Okay, so this White Claw stuff,
yeah,
it's like a malt, it's like a malt beverage. And it contains, but they're mainly, so it's all these alcohol companies are marketing to women based on the zero calories or the zero
low carbs.
So they're all in a battle to see who can come up with a less carb or hydrated, more girly looking can.
Is
and
that like the Corona with passion fruit in it?
Yeah,
so White Claw is one of these brands that a lot of women happen to be drinking right now.
And Mike Coder.
So he brought the grapefruit kind, which...
What is it? So it's grapefruit and...
It's like Fresca.
It really does taste like Fresca.
It's like
mango,
Fresca.
Cherry.
It's alcoholic seltzer.
Flavored
seltzer.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. Thank you, Brandon.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Anytime.
It's value added.
Thank you for simplifying it.
But right now we're going to talk about Port Bliss. Faye Panisi and Captain Bill Allen have this book, and it's got a picture of a dragger. Well, in Gloucester we call these draggers. Around the rest of the country they call those trawlers. But around Gloucester we call these draggers. And Faye, how did you write a book about a trawler?
Well, actually, that story is quite amazing. Besides Port Bliss itself, I was never a reader. I never read a novel in my life. I have a mild learning disability. It's a very common problem. It's a processing problem. So reading was always a chore. I hated reading. I hated books. I hated school. But I've been on Facebook a couple of years, and one day I got a Facebook friend request from Bill Allen. He's in Florida. And I checked him out, and he seemed okay. And so that very day, he invited me to co-write a book with him. And the reason that he asked me to co-write, because he didn't know me, we'd never met before in person, he was reading my posts for a couple of months.
Posts about
my posts on Facebook. I would write daily posts just
like
about my feelings.
Inspirational.
I was told that they were inspirational, but it was not any intention of mine. I would just write my feelings daily, and I had quite a following. I have like 3,500 Facebook friends,
mm-hmm.
All of which friended me, and I have quite a following. And if I don't put a post, people make me know.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So anyway, that's how he saw writing ability in me. Which I never had any desire, trust me. I hated books.
Uh-huh.
So that's how we met, and that's how Port Bliss started, and we did, after a couple of years, complete it and got it published.
So what's the book about?
Well, the setting is a 30-day commercial shrimping trip in Alabama, but Gloucester people will recognize some things in the book, of course, because you know that's where I'm from, but it's really all about the journey, and Port Bliss was written for anyone that's ever asked, why God, why me? In a hazy, uncertain world, most people are looking for that beacon of light, that unwavering faith that ties us through. And I do think that Port Bliss is like the compass rose for that. It guides and directs us in that direction. So
you think a lot of people from Gloucester will identify with this book?
A lot of people from Gloucester will. I'm quite sure they will, yes.
How much does it go into fishing industry stuff?
Well, actually, we do. I wrote about what's been happening for the last few decades with the commercial fishing industry everywhere. And there's actually a historical fiction account in there of USS Indianapolis.
Oh,
any
nice.
Of you, I don't know if you're all old enough to know what that is, but
there
is...
The bomb, 41, right?
Yeah. So
the
there
bomb.
Is the account of that in there. So there's a little bit of romance, a little mystery, suspense, a lot of tragedy, sea tragedy, but even still, I think the underlying message is a message of hope.
Wow. That looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is, I mean, this is...
Who took the pictures and illustrated?
The beautiful cover.
The picture actually is Captain Bill Allen that asked me to co-write this with him. By the way, he made me primary author because more than 80% of the writing is mine. And remember, I never read a novel before, so that's quite amazing.
That's
another story.
Very interesting.
But the picture, his sister dated a fellow that's actually, when this picture was taken, was on that shrimping trawl. And so he passed away like a few months after this was taken from cancer. His name was Randy. So that picture has some significance too.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, beautiful.
Where is Port Bliss a real place?
No, it's fictitious.
It's fictitious.
Yeah, yeah.
And where is it based? Butler, where is
in
it?
In Alabama.
Alabama. Yeah, the shrimping industry is. A lot of the boats, that, well, not anymore because there's so few boats left anymore, but back probably in the 80s, there was a lot of the shrimping trawlers from the Alabama that made Gloucester, that fishermen that had old wooden Eastern rig trawlers purchased these stern trawler, shrimp trawlers,
mm-hmm.
and converted them to you know, the fishing style that we use right here. So Faye, this book looks fantastic. Where can people get the book?
Thanks, Joey. You can get the book at the Gloucester Bookstore here in town. You can get it. How much is it?
No. Sorry, I threw you off.
Sorry.
I was telling the kid to take a picture.
You did. It's all your fault.
He just likes to be in pictures.
No, you can get it at
the
Gloucester Bookstore.
The book, Kim, not Joe.
You can get it at the Gloucester Bookstore. You can get it online, Amazon.com, our trade press. Simon & Schuster has given us great exposure. There's at least a dozen places online. And you can also buy it from me. I live locally. My contact info is faypass@yahoo.com. And I can get you an autographed copy. I'd be very happy to do that. And that's faypass@yahoo.com. Faypass.
All right. I'll put that in it.
Here's my beautiful autographed copy.
Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's the New York bestseller list.
It's actually doing very well.
Is it?
Yes.
Good.
That's
good.
Great. And now we have another book we're going to talk about. Couldn't be more appropriate for the season. Fiesta season. Everyone's favorite season.
I need to read that book.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now.
Really sweet.
We did about... Oh, geez, it's going to be 6 years ago now. We did this series of man on the street interviews all around Gloucester. And one of the questions that we asked everybody was, what's your favorite time of the year in Gloucester? What's your favorite event in Gloucester? Out of 20 people, there was 18 people said Fiesta.
Wow.
You know, and, I mean, if you grew up with the tradition. So we had to scold. Who did we scold yesterday for talking derogatory, like, you know, saying the white person from out of town version of what they think Fiesta is all about? When people talk about the Fiesta, they talk about the carnies.
Yeah.
The carnies as being Fiesta. We had to scold someone last week and say, if that's what you think Fiesta is about, I'm sorry for you. Because the people that really grew up with it, and the traditions of Fiesta, we know that it is so much more. And you don't have to be Italian to. I'm not saying this is exclusive to Italians. For this community that grew up with Fiesta and the traditions of Fiesta, it means so much more. That carnival is actually a means to pay for the traditions that we get to enjoy year in and year out. So this is a book, an illustrated book. Mara O'Connor did the illustrations. Italian translation by Daletta Ballotti. Oh, so this is available in Italian as well?
The Italian is online.
Oh, wow.
The intent was to put the English and the Italian on the same pages, but the illustrations were absolutely so phenomenal.
Wow.
We just don't want to squeeze them out. So the Italian's available online, and the website for the Italian version is several places, listed several places
on
the covers.
Oh, my God.
Covers. Didn't she do a great job?
This is amazing.
Yeah.
And you know what? This is the reason that this is so amazing is because it really is. You have the procession at the end, which is my favorite part.
Yeah.
Although I haven't been able to do it because I have to get up for early work so early, but as a child and as a young teen, walking around that with my grandmother and my mother and my father at midnight and the closing ceremonies after all that emotion of everything that you've just been through for the previous 4 days.
Right.
See, to me, Fiesta still starts. To me, see, if you ask my sister, Fiesta starts when the novena starts. Okay. To me, Fiesta starts on Thursday night when it used when didn't it? But now they say Fiesta is a lot. Then other people say it starts on Wednesday night because they start the carnival a night earlier. But I'm going, you know, whatever it is, it is. But it's just you captured everything. You got down on Beach Court with St. Peter. You have the procession. You have the parade. You have people sitting listening to the Italian music, in St. Peter's Park. Could be Ambi, but I don't know who sells the Sazita sandwiches anymore.
Dominic's Ambi's middle name.
You get the greasy pole. You have you have everything in here. This is so fabulous. So this is really, to sum it up,
This is a great gift for
anyone.
I can't see the title. What's it called?
Why don't you pass it around? The reason it's a great gift for anyone is if you grew up with it like me, it's just a reminder. If it's someone from out of town,
like me,
like you, you would get an appreciation for everything that you may not know is happening behind the scenes.
Right. Yes.
So
the title is
Nonna. What is St. Peter's Fiesta? And it also has it. Is that Italian or Sicilian underneath?
It's standard Italian.
Right. Underneath.
And
yeah.
I worked with the committee for about a year around the idea and what would they like to see. And there was a big debate about the Sicilian, standard Italian, the language, and so the
dialect.
Yeah, exactly. So Sicilian isn't really a written language, and it's so particular dialect by town to town. And to really promote the Italian language today, we agreed to go with standard Italian. And the translator, translator Diletta is my cousin who lives in Italy. I've just found 4 years ago.
Oh goodness!
Another whole story.
This is what it must have been—an incredible journey for you.
Have
you ever written a book before?
I have. That's my second book.
Okay.
The first book is called A Letter to My Children, An Italian-American Family's Heritage.
Great.
And it talks about just being growing up Italian-American and the difference. So this is the first book.
Okay.
And it talks about primarily the difference between being Italian and being being from Northern Italy, where I'm from, and my husband, who's from Sicily. And there's many, many differences, as you can imagine, the cultural differences. So when we started having kids and we were raising our kids, the kids were like,
right. You know, people don't realize that.
Big food difference, too, right?
Big food difference,
yeah.
Educational difference, the values of education, survival.
Yeah.
They were different countries at one time. Italy wasn't unified till the middle of the 19th century.
Yeah, so in the 1860s. So we figured if I didn't figure out how these differences were affecting our kids, we could really mess them up.
Yeah.
So I started doing research on that 40 years ago, and working on a second family type book now. But in the meantime, 4 years ago, all of our grandkids, who were only 5 3/4 at the time, now we have 10, it just happened that we were all together for Fiesta. And the in-laws were there, so my daughter-in-law's families and my son-in-law's families, we were all together. So there were probably 30 or 35 of us, Trace been down, and it was the same thing. The kids were all excited about going to the carnival.
Yeah.
And I thought, how sad is this?
Yeah.
That not just the little kids, people coming in from out of town, even people from Gloucester generations down, the further we away we get from the original generation, the further away we get from the notion of what it's about and its meaning.
Well, there are, you know, in the last, I don't know, say 5 or 6 years, there seems to be a younger, there's a group of younger women, the Linkwater girls,
right.
My sister, there's a bunch of them that are,
sister,
that have,
I think
have
your
really,
sister, really.
No, not just her. Please don't ever say that. There's a lot of families. The Gropos, the Nodos. There's some wonderful people that have been really, please don't say just my sister, because that's insulting to these other families that are doing wonderful jobs to keeping this tradition alive.
And some of the wives of the people on the committee are the ones that organize them and manage the novena.
Yeah.
And they do a great job.
They do a fabulous job.
Yeah.
For vases. You know, there's a bunch of these scholars. All the, you know, a lot of the same the families that have done it for years. But thank you so much for bringing this to people's attention. Laura Ventimiglia, where can people get the book?
Okay, so locally, the bookstore has been fabulous with their coverage, and they do Fiesta windows and so forth. So the get it at the bookstore, but also Toodaloo's carries it, KPM Museum, the gift shop at the Building Center, and Tux Candy over in Rockport. When Toad Hall went out of business, they started carrying local books.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
So they've started carrying it, too. Now, if you happen to live in Boston, it's in the North End bookstore, I Am Books.
Yeah.
I Am stands for Italian American.
Oh, wow.
And it's a fabulous little bookstore. It's
great.
They do a lot of cultural events
and
things like that.
And how about somebody in Arizona? Because somebody emailed us and wanted to know.
Oh, okay. So thanks for asking that. So I do have, I established the Buttieri Press as a publishing imprint company for the books that I write and publish, and that's available online. So it's Buttieri, BU.
Oh, hold on one second. Let me just.
And you created it.
Yeah, I started the company.
Available.
Chris, it's vertical integration.
Roster.
Yes.
And online. Where is it?
BUTTIE. press, all one word, .com.
Okay.
And both books are available online. The same thing, the neat thing about the St. Peter's book is all of the proceeds go to the committee to manage, help contribute to the funding of Fiesta. So the for the cost of the book, we obviously paid to have somebody do the layout, we paid the illustrator, we paid to have it printed, but I didn't take any money for it. Other people donated
very generous
their services.
That's
so that
that's
as
great.
Much
what a gift.
Money as possible
what a gift.
Can go.
Yeah.
And the neat thing is you get into Heidi next.
No, she's going to be last because we have other guests that got here before.
It's a good segue right here.
It's
thank you.
Yeah.
What?
It's a good segue right here.
It's something related to
oh, because you're going to be at the Fiesta.
And next week, next Saturday at 10 a.m. at Gloucester Stage, if you would like to meet Laura and get your book signed, you can buy a book. See, Joey, I won't lead you down the wrong path. You can get the book signed. We have adapted, Liana, my education apprentice at Gloucester Stage, has adapted the book for the stage.
Oh, wow.
And we are performing it. And for those of you that may be reading, you've not... reading might be troublesome.
Yes.
I'm looking at you, McCarthy, Coder, you can come and we're performing it at Gloucester Stage.
Oh, wow.
And
oh,
I have
cool.
big news. Normally, it's the Playtime Stories event. Normally, we do it in the lobby. This is such a huge seller, such a big community event that we're going to be on the stage.
Yay.
Wait, can you tell me what the date is again?
June 29th.
It's coming Saturday.
Saturday.
10 a.m.?
10 a.m. Free coffee and donuts for everybody. So we'll have free coffee and donuts. Leanna will have a pot of coffee going. We have donuts from Jim's. We have a whole bunch of donuts from Jim's Bagel and Bake Shop. He donates them. And we also, we perform the books. It's all the youth acting workshop students. We have a couple of numerosis in there. Yeah. We have little Bianca Numerosi making her Playtime Stories debut as little Joey.
Right, the main character.
And then Leah Sophia Numerosi in year two in Nona, and she's playing the other child,
yeah.
the
Amelia.
Yeah. And it's going to be great. And then after, it's for 2 years old and up. So you guys.
Everybody
are fine.
Can come.
You can come.
10 a.m. next Saturday.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
And after we do the book.
Yep.
We take the kids out. All my actors, all the youth acting workshop students, take the kids out. And Liana has come up with some amazing crafts.
Yeah.
Tell them the big craft.
So we're gonna make and race our own sand boat.
Same boat. She's from Kentucky, so.
That's okay. That's
same.
It.
Sorry.
Yeah, make and race your own same boat.
That's Italian American.
I'm not even Italian. I'm French. Sorry.
Yes, sir, you are.
It's not at her place.
And then we're also going to make our little fish magnets. So I cut out some fish outlines out of foam paper, and then the kids can decorate them, and then we'll stick a magnet on it, and then they'll be able to put it on their
and they get to take it home with them, and they have a souvenir. They can take their boat home, and then they have the little fish souvenir.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really
all right.
A
so
fun,
next
fun day.
Next Saturday at 10 a.m. at Gloucester Stage, Nona, where is St. Peter's Fiesta?
Yeah, and you can buy tickets in advance, which I would definitely
recommend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Buy in advance, and it's $5 a child.
Yeah,
so if you bring a child with you, it's free for the adult. So, you too.
We have to adopt some kids.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or make a donation.
Or adults can make a donation too.
Mike is having a party Friday night, which you're all welcome to.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he's going to be able to attend that early.
Yeah, we have a Bishop Fenwick class of 85 get together. We're not calling
God.
A reunion, but we get together.
You guys will still be awake.
From 4 to 9 o'clock at night at Mike's.
You're
at
all
Mike's.
Welcome. You don't
hashtag Rosecliff, Mike's palatial estate overlooking Good Harbor Beach.
We have a tent. We're going to sleep out.
Sleep out, yeah.
He's all
we're
about sleeping
out.
Out.
You guys
we're going right to the Gloucester Stage.
You
right
wake
right
up and have
yeah.
coffee and donuts without a
coffee
Gloucester
and donuts.
Stage.
Coffee
that might be a good day to open the boys' camp.
There you go. All right. So
and
there you go.
I just want to say one thing. You know who Laura's husband is?
No, who's Laura's husband?
So Frank Ventimiglia.
The architect of the Gloucester High School band. Field shows.
The one we always talk about. The guy we always talk about.
The mastermind behind
right.
it.
The,
yeah.
You know,
the trumpet player from St. Anne's from years ago.
So I ran into Jay. God, he played for. He was quarterback for Boston College.
Oh,
Jay
Palazzolo.
Jay
Palazzolo.
I ran into him just 2 days ago, and we were talking about his days as he was. Quarterback,
right.
A Gloucester High quarterback that went on to play at BC. He's like big highlight reel, you know, great player and everything else. And what I said to him was, geez, those were the days, because I was a young kid, but the city turned out. Big part of the show was the Gloucester Marching Band was the costumes that they had. They had like, would you call it Greek sailors outfit?
No, it was.
How would you say?
It was a replica of the U.S. Constitution.
Is that what it was?
The Constitution.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Well, it was. I mean, they had white. I don't know what the hell it was.
Like
but it was. It was very. No one else. No other marching
John
band.
Paul Jones modeled the uniforms after the Greeks.
No other marching band in the United States. I guarantee you had. It was very unique. How many people were in that marching band?
Like 135?
At least, over 150.
It was amazing. I mean, do you remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Those are great times. Those are great times.
Yeah, right. And Frank, he was the architect, the field shows.
I had
the
no idea.
Marching, that was his.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What years were those? What years did the kind of like, was the heyday of that? Was
it,
was it late 70s?
Yeah, 80. 70s. Yeah.
Early 70s to the mid-80s?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
what I would say. Yeah,
because
yeah.
kids would go to practice with him. The kids would travel when they would go on band trips.
No, yes, we were.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. I would walk down there, the high school, for my grandfather's My mother would drop me off and go play tennis, and she'd drop me off at my Joe Popcorn store.
Oh, yeah.
So I grew up right around,
right,
you know, in
corner,
the,
yeah,
the courtyard with
was he a good boy growing up?
Oh, yeah.
I was a, I was a non-threatening ectomorph, scrawny tennis player. You know, growing up down in downtown Gloucester with these great,
with clean clothes. And
we had
a
lot of fun, but I would walk from my grandfather Joe Popcorn store, you know, down Centennial Ave to the high school and then after the game walk back, because it was like babysitting. Pat Center Grocery was like my mother's babysitting place. She just dumped me off there. And do her thing. Anyway, thank you guys for coming. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Brandon Pratt is with us.
Yes, good morning.
Brandon Pratt posts on capeandhome.com. He does mortgages. And it's in the name of the company?
Cross Country Mortgage,
Cross,
right on Main Street.
Right on Main Street. And
we always get lots of interesting information from when you're here.
We do.
We really do.
And right now is a very special, a good time for him to be here because rates have been dropping.
Yeah. Breaking news. Brandon Pratt.
Yeah. Right in time with the crazy home market. It's creating more bidding wars, but more importantly, people who own homes who bought earlier this year or even last year now have the opportunity to get the rates that we had a few years ago. Which is fantastic. None of us really foresaw that
this opportunity
was going to come.
So there are a lot of people that may have got adjustable mortgages, like 10-year ARMs.
Yes.
And so they
someone.
Well, if you buy a non-warrantable condo, that's what happens.
Well, non-warrantable condos as a whole, those are actually. We can have a whole another podcast on non-warrantables. Have you ever heard what a non-warrantable condo is?
Let's not get off topic. Let's just talk to the popular.
We can get conforming rates on non-warrantables.
So here's the point that I'm trying to make is some people got 10-year adjustable mortgages, and then rates started going up and up and up, and they're like, oh my goodness, in another say 7 years from now, my rate is going to click in at this higher rate. Maybe I should have gone to a 30-year.
Yeah, exactly.
No one foresaw rates coming down, going up where they went to, and then coming right back down. So now you have an opportunity to really ensure your future and your family's future with a lot less worry about where rates are going to be.
Yeah, listen, if they go down further, you can refinance again. It's no big deal. You just want to make sure that you grab what the market's giving you right now, because none of us saw it was going to be here. None of us know how long it's going to last. It could end tomorrow. The rates move very dramatically, especially with there's so much financial news out there about tariffs.
The VIX. They think that the rates are going to start going up when the piping plovers flee.
Once they're fully nested and they're survived and they haven't been eaten by dogs.
There's a direct correlation between piping plovers and mortgage rates. So I would call Brandon today, because you are open today.
I am working all day.
Working.
I work on Sundays.
Call today,
because
the piping plovers are ready to leave. Rates are going to go high.
Speaking of piping plover, this is a good segue to have our piping plover update.
Okay. we'll talk about it in just a minute. But so can you give us an example of, like, you know, what's a 30-year roughly right now?
30-year fixed, if you're buying a home, is in between 3.625 and 3.75.
Wow.
If you're refinancing.
It's on a 30-year?
30-year fixed, no points. So you're not paying any, you're just paying standard closing costs.
I want to come talk to you.
What?
Yeah, you're just paying regular standard. We can roll in the loan. Other features that I'm helping people with now, if they bought a couple years ago with low money down, the prices have increased, so they can refinance, reduce PMI,
drop
or get rid of it.
Yeah.
They can lower their rate. They can also take some cash out with the building equity to do some home improvements. People consolidating cash to, you know, paying off credit cards instead of paying 19-22%. You can pay it at 3.75. So there's a lot of great things that
you
can
do.
You
could take years off of
What's
your loan.
What's prime today? What's the prime rate?
You can also finance short-term assets over 30 years, which also you have to consider doesn't make a lot of sense.
Unless you prepay your mortgage ahead of time instead of taking the money that you're going to pay the credit cards and add it to your mortgage balance.
And then
balance.
You have to have self-discipline.
Well, we talk about that. So,
card debt in the
so
first place,
when I sit
right?
down with people, it's not like, hey, what mortgage can I get you in and let's get out of here. It's like, let's take a look at everything.
Right.
You know, what are you saving? You know, where's your money going? And do you have a budget? Nobody has a budget. Mm-hmm. Nobody even knows what their credit scores are. So we look at everything.
I do.
Good. Awesome. And if it's out.
Karma.com.
Credit Karma is not real.
No, I know.
It's a whole different range than what
it makes
we would use
feel
for
good.
Credit qualifying.
FICO,
it makes
yeah,
you feel
it's
good.
FICO score.
FICO, yeah, the fair eyes of comparison.
Yeah, Experian.
That's
you want to take advantage of it before they start charging these extra points that the banks used to do.
They
points
used to, yeah.
For them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's
$2,000, $3,000 extra.
Well, you can buy, do a buy down.
You can do a buy down, but you have to see is the cost worth the reduction in rate? A lot of times I don't think it is. He's
Mike
leading the witness.
Yeah.
Mike's really just.
So what would the closing cost?
Slaying it.
Show
so everybody
really
how smart he is.
Size,
throw the,
say
the flow of the podcast
size
off. Thanks,
about $2,600.
So you can tell it. Make sure everybody knows
sometimes
how smart.
Sometimes we don't even need an appraisal now because they know the after the mortgage meltdown, they've taken so much data on home values around here. Every appraisal goes in this huge data bank, so they don't even know the value of your homes now. So a lot of cases, you don't even need an appraisal, and it's a quick 3-week process.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
and we use local Gloucester attorneys to do the refinances. They'll come to your house. You meet them downtown. Able to make it easy for you too.
That's incredible. So it's right across from the police station.
Yep.
And kind of next to Art is Art Haven there anymore?
Yeah, we're right next door to the Art Haven.
Right next
yeah,
to
we
the
get
water
all these
tanks.
Bowls in our front basket. I almost have like a whole dinner set of bowls and plates. I don't know. And they're always nice. They just leave them outside. It's crazy. I just scoop them up. So
there you go.
What I've always been amazed at is like a 0.5% in savings on the interest rate, or even 1%.
Yeah.
How much that can impact?
$150 easily. A lot of my clients are saving $150 to $200 right now. And then we also have no closing cost loan. If you don't want to, you know, roll in $2,600 of closing costs, you can get a slightly higher interest rate and we'll pay it all for you.
Yeah.
So that's when I'll say online, on Facebook, there's free money. I'll literally refinance you and it won't cost you any money out of pocket to take advantage of some of these low rates.
You have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
That's correct. Yeah.
Why wouldn't
change
you?
Change your life.
Unless
well, I guess if you don't have a mortgage, you won't.
I mean, that's
big.
Yeah,
we can work
15-year
rates. You know, I mean, if you want to buy a house in a few years and you don't have the discipline to save, refinance into a 15-year. Your principal to interest flip-flops.
Yeah.
You know, instead of it being more dominated by interest,
right,
it goes dominated by principal.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2 to 3 years, when you sell your house, you already have the equity from that for the down payment on your next one without having to save every month.
You're sitting in that office pretty much from what time to what time?
Well, today I'm going to be at open house, so I'll be there till noon, and then I'm heading over to Wingashik Beach. I'll be meeting some other Cape Ann Home real estate people, Kenny McCarthy, Bob McDermott, and Sue McDermott. Meet them at 8 Schooner Ridge. They have a beautiful house by Wingashik, and then I'm heading to Beverly on Elliott Street for an open house 1 to 3 with Rick Petralia from Jay Barrett in Gloucester. It's a fixer-upper. It's only $300,000 right on the Danvers line. And then I'll be on the phone. I'll go home, and then people putting offers in, I'll be sending out pre-approval letters, talking to the listing agents to let them know that my buyers have the best financing. We've already been working together, and it's 8:00 at night on a Sunday, which shows really care that we want to make sure our buyers get that house, especially in the competitive market. Those little things that can make the difference.
So the other mortgage brokers are golfing. Brandon's working.
Now tomorrow we'll be golfing.
Yeah.
We're doing a charity event for a Gloucester family.
Do you pre-qualify people?
Yeah, pre-qualifications. We'll do pre-approvals, where your loan will actually get approved by an underwriter.
Desktop underwriting.
Desktop underwriting, or LPA, Loan Prospector, which is the Freddie Mac engine. We have all that. We have FHA, we have Mass Housing, no money down. So you can buy a house up to $400,000 with no money down.
Money talks, nobody wants.
Separate from the City of Gloucester grant, which we also accept. We have FHA, I love veterans. We're a VA direct lender. If there's any veteran Coast Guard guys, firefighters, policemen, they're all tend to be veterans. We can help them with no money down as well.
Well, we're going to come talk to you this week.
I'll be around.
There you go. I like it. All right. Thank you for coming. And give me a website or a telephone number. What would you rather put in?
Website's NorthshoreHomeLoans.com.
And people can contact you that way?
Yep. Right directly. I actually gotten a few leads from Good Morning Gloucester. People have gone on there and...
Yeah.
I actually talked to two yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah.
There you go. I love it. Yeah, because he does great. See, he does these posts and is actually, he leaves out anything extra and he just puts to the point of what he's trying to get across. Very effective marketing.
Cut to the chest.
Yeah, just cut to the chest. People don't have time to listen. You know, when people drone on and on, they lose, they don't keep any of the facts. If you just get to the point,
i.e.
bang, 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 bang.
He's a good role model for all of us.
He is a good role model. He's a great role. Thanks for coming in, brother.
Thank you, Joey. I gotta go.
All
right,
brother.
Do all these.
Yeah. I keep forgetting. So, Kim, you were saying there's a direct correlation between mortgage rates and piping plovers?
So the piping plovers are ready to fledge.
Uh-oh.
What does that mean, fledge? Fly off?
Fly off. Okay. So,
fledge, like a fraternity?
Well, Bo perked up.
So we
Bo, our dog, just perked up.
I think Bo's hungover.
In about a week, they'll be making long flights. So they're 22 days old today. So by 30, 32 days, they can make pretty long flights, but then by 35 days, they can fly fast enough and well enough to get away from a predator. So that's the main thing. We try to get them to 32, 35 days.
My house finches also are fledgling.
They're fledgling.
Yeah, we had one leave the nest yesterday.
Oh, so sweet. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
They're very fast.
One left the nest.
Songbirds are very fast. Like piping plovers take, 4 to 5 weeks. Songbirds are about 2 weeks.
So you got all four still?
Well, we lost one the second night because it was like dense.
Oh,
fog,
I remember that. Yeah, yeah. So
there's,
but there's three survivors.
There's three. And
getting to fledgling.
Right.
But they don't say.
They do. They pipe. They have a beautiful melodic pipe. That's where
they wake me
they
up in the morning.
Them and the crows. The crows and the plovers.
Actually, it was pretty exciting yesterday. They got stuck on a little because now they're down at the creek all the time, and they went out to the other side of the creek, and then the tide started to come in, and it was coming in, and we were like, they can't fly. How are they going to get to the other side of the island to the shore? And they all swam.
It's very exciting. It's like a soap opera. Well, that's what she's doing. She's making a movie about them.
I think one of the two authors here today should write a book about the piping
clover. Yeah.
I think Kim is doing that. Kim's doing that in her documentary.
Nana, what's a piping clover, Nana? Look at that. It's going to be a bestseller.
Kim's a Nana too, so
that's... Oh, that's right, yeah. Well, you can do the illustrations. You can do take the picture.
Her husband would do the illustration. Her husband's a...
I am writing and illustrating a book about them and making a short film. So.
Oh, nice.
All right.
Well, I know a publisher. You need a publisher.
I still get a piece.
We'll work on it.
Kim, I still get a piece because that was kind of my idea. That you just stole.
You don't know that I've been working on this for 4 years, right?
Now you tell me. I give Kim a lot of...
That's great news. I love it. So Yella opened yesterday. The place that the former Morning Glory on the Boulevard opened. I have not been inside, but just from the outside, you can tell they dumped a lot of money into that place. Pat and Jimmy went.
You went? We went yesterday. It's beautiful on the inside. We happened to sit outside. We wanted to sit outside. It was such a nice day. And the deck is just done up just beautifully and very comfortable. And the food was, it was really good.
Wait, is it,
what did you have?
Give us a quick rundown of what you saw, what you ate.
Mediterranean.
Mediterranean. I had the chicken wings, which were crispy and treated with, or served with olive oil, lemon, garlic, tomatoes, and something green, maybe.
Were they baked? Were they baked chicken wings?
No, I don't think so. No.
Did they have like hummus and baba ganoush?
They had all of that kind of stuff.
Shish kebab.
He had fish tacos.
They have different tacos, and I just went with the basic to make sure I don't want to try it. And it was really good.
They were very friendly. We talked to Danielle and her husband, the chef, Carlo. And they were very friendly. They said they had just opened that day. I had driven by and I saw them opening up the umbrellas, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to keep my eyes open. And we went back by a little while later, and sure enough, there were people sitting out there. So we stopped. They had lots of help.
So they had a restaurant in Andover. Do they still have that?
Yeah, they do.
That's very successful, that restaurant.
Yeah,
there.
They said they had quite a struggle since the gas explosions
affected them quite a bit.
I asked the waitress we had, and her name I can't remember, but if she was from the other location, but she said she was a Gloucester girl. So that was nice to hear that there was, very local, and she did a great job. We had a very pleasant experience. It was lots of seats out there.
Yeah,
I'd say.
In a big bar area.
So
and
lunch
here's the thing.
Dinner?
Yes,
you know, when you hear about
dinner.
Soft openings, you're expecting to see maybe the waitresses checking the menu themselves to get the price or stuff. It looked like they've been open.
Yeah, it didn't feel like
everybody
anything.
Was just.
Yeah.
Doing fine. Nobody was bumping into each other. They all understood things.
No spilled drinks.
And the cocktails were fun.
Yeah.
Of course.
So that's fantastic. We have a link to their website, yellowgrill.com, and the grill is with an E.
Yeah.
G-R-I-L-L-E. So we had a conversation at the beginning of the season on the podcast with Jimmy and Pat, who have, they're from New York, and they still have New York plates. And they got yelled at by some local folks on the boulevard.
And their
view is they got yelled at because they were from New York. Okay. This is on the boulevard. I am a huge advocate and proponent of the tourism industry in our city. I love the tourist. I am not an anti-New York person or anti-tourist person. I love that they're here. So that being said, now I completely understand, because I'm like, when they said that they got yelled at for being New Yorkers, I said, that sounds a little fishy, because I don't think people like really have a hatred towards New Yorkers. So I'm driving yesterday on coming past Yella to go over the bridge, and it is 8:30 in the morning, and there were people with Connecticut plates. They weren't New York plates, but Connecticut plates. And they were leisurely driving on the boulevard and kind of looking out wistfully at the ocean, which I can understand. But as a local, now it completely made sense, because I was enraged knowing that there's the possibility of getting stuck at the bridge because this person is taking their time instead, because they don't, and I get that they don't understand that there's a potential for that bridge to go up and you to be stuck for 45 minutes, say 35 minutes or whatever, but whatever it is 35 minutes that potentially could be avoided if the person knows enough to drive quickly on the boulevard to get on the other side. Once you get up,
pull over.
Exactly. That's what my wife Kate says, because we live like off of the back shore, and driving on the back shore, she gets irritated at people driving wistfully, slowly.
Don't ever even come where I live. You cannot imagine.
No, I can imagine.
What it's like.
Oh,
my
Rocky Neck.
90% of the time.
Yeah.
Joey, I want to go on.
No, but so it isn't necessarily that you were New Yorkers. What it was people that are in the know and know that you should be driving quickly when you get on the, and not to hurt anyone, but to get on to the other side of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people, I mean, because I'm normally very relaxed driving. I'm actually a slow driver, but on the boulevard this time of year, you got to get over the bridge.
When they yelled at us, we were actually on the other side of the bridge by the circle, and there was traffic coming out. We were heading
away from the bridge.
And there was traffic coming out, get in line to go over the bridge, and that's where they yelled at us.
When they yelled at you, what words did they use?
Well,
basically go home.
Did you let somebody out? Or?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's it. That's it. You don't let it. You can't let anyone out. You gotta go. This is.
This is
survival. This is Gloucester 101 survival.
We got yelled at on Main Street too, I remember.
Yeah.
Because they were driving along looking at the store.
No, we were not. I parked over in a spot
And some local came up and said, you know, these parking is the local. You make it more difficult for the locals to park.
Oh, that's ignorant.
By you parking.
That's
oh, my God.
That's
ridiculous.
So I told her, I said, listen, we own a place here now.
It's ridiculous.
Then why don't you just change your plates? And I said, I'll do that next week. I'm going in this store right now.
So there was an article in yesterday's Boston Times that they're looking to increase the speed limit on the boulevard to 55.
That must have been some of the New York
and when the bridge goes up, stopping will be optional.
70 would make me happy. 70 would make me happy.
I also want to go on record by saying when I'm driving on the boulevard, I'm also yelling out the window, two lanes! Two lanes!
Yeah.
Move over.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
There. So I just in case someone sees a New York car and they're going to say, Joey said I should slap you.
I think they should build a new bridge there so we don't have to worry about it going up and down.
I think an overpass.
Yeah. My, my record, 75% of the time I hit that damn bridge.
Yeah.
And I told Joe that I know the guy, he knows my car. And he sees me. There must be a transponder on my car. Because, oh my God, McCarthy's 5 minutes away. Let's go.
Yep.
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, it's awful. When I was first married, I lived 10 years in Magnolia. Oh God, I hated that bridge. When we left Magnolia, that was such a relief.
Yeah.
That bridge was really.
Yeah.
Well, that was your fault. That was your fault, and that was your fault. Because if you live in God's country, you don't have to deal with that. Over here in East Coast.
When I'm pulling out of my house, I have the option, the lady or the tiger. Do I take a left for the lady, or do I take a right for the tiger? Do I go over the big bridge, or do I go over the small
bridge?
The cut bridge,
yeah.
And
if it was, if I was you, I would not even risk. Well, depending on the time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like from
this morning, I hit it coming over here, 7:45.
You know, okay. So what kills me is every single year, usually by the third week of July, and Kate and I have this bet that. When are we gonna see the first post on Facebook of the person to say they've never seen it so bad? Because every year it's bad, right? Every year, the third week of July, it's absolutely insane in town, and we know it's a couple of weeks of heavy duty traffic, and that's what we do, and you deal with it, and it's no big deal, right? But like for people to pretend that they never got backed up on the boulevard, because I remember being. And we talked about this before. I remember being like 8 years old in my father's Mercury Grand Marquis with the Naga hide seats, and my legs, stuck to the seats because it was so hot in the car, and being stuck at the bridge all the way past the tennis courts on the other side of the bridge.
Starving probably.
But whatever it was it's no. It's no different. It's no different. I can guarantee you, there's gonna be about 3 weeks of heavy traffic in this city, from July through the third week of July.
The Chronicle interview. It said nothing about Chronicle Peace. Said nothing about traffic in Gloucester.
It was the only negative they didn't bring up.
It was a good piece.
It was.
It was a pretty good piece. You know, all things considered, they're always going to put the crazy person on there because they have to be fair and balanced, right? So they put the crazy person on there to talk about how. Because anyone that says anything potentially negative about the hotel, I consider a crazy person,
right.
Not based in reality.
No, it's
right?
True.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there was somebody who said something negative about
them. People.
She had
really?
A. Yeah.
She's still
yeah.
trying to figure out whether it's if it's good or bad for Gloucester.
For her.
Oh, sorry, for her.
For her.
Yeah, not for Gloucester.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
I guess I better look at it.
No, it's good. It was a good. I think it was a good piece. It showed how beautiful the city was. Safathi did a fabulous job.
Great job. Yeah.
Fabulous job, and a lot of people did fabulous. I think it's an absolute. Ridiculous notion that they think that they would ever let the fishing industry be a fraction of what it once was when we had a million boats here and they were landing the amount of fish that they were landing that proved to be unsustainable. They're never going to let it go back to a free for all. There's always going to be a fishing industry here, but it's got to be managed so that there'll be fish for the future. It's not so.
See, a lot of people didn't realize there was always a hotel down there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
then the
that.
Fishing industry got in and had to build houses. So change came.
Yeah, there were a lot of bigger hotels.
Right, and
Gloucester
exactly
back in
where
the
Beauport is, there was a hotel.
Right.
Exactly.
In Magnolia.
Magnolia.
But how about the big hotels in Magnolia?
Rocky Neck was a big hotel.
Right, the ones all on
yeah.
the back shore.
On the back shore, yeah.
There was an article in the Gloucester Times yesterday, Ritz Carlton in Four Seasons, just bought land.
Well, we're going to convert my place to a hotel.
Hotel, yeah.
And Rice goes off to Mikey Beach.
Mike's selling the name to Four Seasons.
And the tent goes
Hashtag Rosecliff.
And the tent, yeah, we'll have the tent and the fire pit out back. And roses will be there.
There you go. I have to mention, one of my lobstermen, actually a couple of my lobstermen, are looking for full-time backmen to go lobstering. I'm going to read to you his qualifications because I don't know how he's going to find this person.
Do I fit?
What's that?
Is there a spin class? Is there a bench? Can you take spin class?
Can I bring my spin bike on the boat?
Where are we?
To power the boat.
Yeah.
You could actually power the boat, Mike. Save him some energy.
It could
run.
It burns calories, too.
All right, are we ready? So, these are the qualifications. Experience preferred. Must be hardworking with fast hands.
Check.
Non-smoker.
Check.
Non-drinker.
Oh, shit.
Completely drug-free, must have own vehicle. Which, he still doesn't have a back man, and the ad has been up for about 3 weeks now. So
we need a car for it.
It's the drinking and drugs.
How much does it pay?
Hi, Debbie, how are you?
Are you blogging away?
Yes, we're blogging away. It's tough.
That's Mike. That's speaking. Hey, Mike, come on up here. We're just talking about you looking for a back man. This is the guy. This is the guy.
So, here's your interview.
What are you
looking
for?
Your interview.
What was your
account
for?
Wipe that crap off your shirt, okay? Come on.
Literally.
Why would you need to have a car?
That I'm the right man.
Get down to the dock?
Huh?
You need to have a car to get down to the dock? Or drive his?
Someone to get to work. So.
Oh, yeah. But what if you walk?
Oh, he's got his bathroom.
There he is.
Hello,
Tuffy, I'm your new back man.
Hey.
So Mike, we're taping the podcast.
Yeah.
Michael. We're taping the podcast
yes,
right now.
Yes.
We just so happened to be speaking about your ad for the thing there. And we went through the qualifications.
And none of us in here qualify.
I do have a vehicle.
That's the problem. Is that a vehicle?
Yeah.
Sorry. Anything else?
No. So, did you want to speak? Do you want to have?
Is there
do you
any
want any words for
any vacation?
I'd like to talk about the 401k.
We can't go there.
What are the hours?
You know that.
What are the hours?
The 401k.
You can.
Endless hours.
Hashtag wingman.
It's a Frenchie.
It's a Frenchie. Yes.
That's the official. That's the official mascot.
Archer. He lives in Manhattan.
See, this isn't good material for the podcast. Right?
Yeah, this is
not
like
our video thing.
What's happening?
So right now, Mike is kissing the Bo, and unfortunately,
yeah.
Bo will probably going to be dead.
Because they might not see the dog.
Yeah. The dog. When the dog falls ill.
Make sure you get a side shot.
You
wanted the job.
You might get the job now.
Yeah. The dog is going to be infected.
I'm going to fix this for Deja.
Okay.
See, Mike right now, he's working it. He's going to put this on his Grindr profile. This picture on it. Oh, I mean Tinder. Tinder.
These aren't cheap.
No. Jesus.
That's a nice dog right
Jeez,
now.
Jeez, that tells everything.
That's why he needs the work to come
yeah.
work for you.
All right.
I'm going to bring both.
He's
going a long way
like
in
this house.
Is it a freshener?
He shit the dog. The dog Bo shit twice before the podcast even started.
Yeah.
He's got a stain on his shirt. Show him the stain on your shirt.
He's a puppy. Huh?
Poop stains.
I got lobster guts all over me.
He's a puppy.
There you go.
Yeah, I think he's somewhere.
There's a lot of them in Manhattan because they've got a lot of small dogs
in
the city. So that's a very popular dog.
Yeah,
would you like some cookies?
You want a cookie?
No, thank you.
Are you sure?
Yes, thank you.
He's from Two Sisters.
They came from Two
Who
Sisters.
Who made these?
From Two Sisters.
Two Sisters Coffee Shop.
Yeah.
They're good.
Take it for later.
All right.
Can I take two?
No.
Take one. Mike, take everything.
You guys done?
Yeah.
Coffee.
Take the whole thing, please.
Paul, you probably should give her a plate back.
I'm gonna.
No, yeah, he's gonna put it in the Saran wrap, but he's gonna leave the rest.
Watch me.
So, Pat wanted to speak to the DNA program.
Oh, yes, I went to the.
Good seeing y'all.
Good to see you.
Bye. Bye, it's nice to meet you.
I'll be right down.
Thanks for coming up.
Where do I enroll?
Sorry, we don't qualify.
Don't be sorry.
Where do I apply?
You just did. Don't be joshing me now.
No, I'm looking for a career change.
Yeah.
Joe says it's easy.
Green dogs.
Joe says it's easy job.
Big bucks, too.
Pat, tell quick. We need to wrap up the
Pat. It's hard act to follow with DNA. I went to the DNA program at the library this week. Peg Plummer presented her information about the DNA. Most of you know that I've done a lot of family history research, and I've looked into the DNA, but I've never listened to a program that made me understand it better. So if it's something that you're curious about, wondering about, and you see a program presented by Peg Plummer, I would absolutely recommend going, because she did explain it in a way that made it easy for me to understand what we were looking
and
at.
And for you to say that is speaking volumes, because you've been all in on this for a long, long time.
And the DNA piece is a very weak spot in my bank of knowledge.
Yeah.
That I of course want to build up, but yeah. Oh, she was great. She was really good.
Great.
And last program in the series is this Thursday, and it's on cemeteries, Gloucester cemeteries.
Awesome.
Carol Kelly, I think it is presenting it.
Nana, it's DNA. See, this could be a whole series.
It could be a whole thing.
Did you go to the first two series?
I went to the first one.
Okay.
I wasn't able to go to the second one, but they were.
They've done a good job.
It was an excellent
library.
Series.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it expanded myself, but it was great.
Yeah, so there's the new historian librarian, history librarian.
I missed her.
Jackie Linsky at the, just to put a plug in for the library and the genealogy work that they're doing in the family history. So Jackie's new, and she's working with the city and the KPM Museum, City Hall and KPM Museum, to digitize all of the city records and documents. It's a phenomenal job.
And then
set it up so that people can do genealogy research.
That's great.
Yeah.
Pat's in all of glory over there. This is like her
big-time
passion.
Yeah.
So I want to find out what you're interested in.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you can speak about
definitely.
That.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Did you have anything you wanted us to speak about?
No, just Playtime Stories.
Yeah. So come next Saturday. Come 10 o'clock at Gloucester Stage.
10 a.m. Gloucester Stage.
Awesome.
And the youth program, if you come to see the kids perform and you're like, I want to perform, I want to be on stage, the youth program starts July 12th at Gloucester Stage. So give us a call.
What's the age?
5 to 19.
There you go.
I know.
You just missed Chris.
Just missed. And then Liana is my new apprentice. So she just graduated from Emerson.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And she is here with me for the year. And we're going to be at the block party performing. And so we're doing some work with Art Haven.
Awesome.
And the theater was on Jared Bowen last night.
There you
Friday
go.
Night.
Fantastic. All right, thanks everybody for coming. Gloucester Cast
240.
10 away. 10 away from 350.
Crow's Nest 350.
Crow's Nest 350. We're going to make that happen. All right.